In our recent report on the 40th anniversary of Hurricane Frederick, much of the focus was on the storm's impact on the large dunes on Pensacola Beach at the time. Today, we're taking a closer look at the formation and importance of coastal dunes, ongoing threats, and efforts to grow and stabilize them. Prior to Hurricane Frederick's landfall in 1979, longtime residents Mike Amond and Terry Preston recalled large formations in mainly undeveloped areas.
At that time, you wouldn't see the Gulf or the Sound in many cases, or the bay, on either side as you drove down because the dunes were so large.
The dunes, especially down Fort Pickens Road, were huge. I mean, 2, 3, 4 stories high. Beautiful. It was amazing.
Two main factors of vegetation, coastal vegetation, and wind.
Dr. Philip Schmutz is an expert in coastal geomorphology, focusing on the formation of dunes. He's an assistant professor in the University of West Florida Department of Earth and Environmental Sciences.
So as wind blows across the beach, it picks up and moves that sand, and then that vegetation traps that sediment, and that's what grows the dunescape, the dune landscape over time.
For dunes flattened by storms or hurricanes, such as Frederick in 79, Opal in 1995, and Ivan in 2004, Schmutz says researchers estimate about a decade for them to regenerate.
Particularly on the Gulf Coast. So these are studies along the Gulf Coast and Southern Atlantic. It takes about 8 to 10 years to get back to pre-storm conditions if you don't completely alter and change the environment in itself. It takes roughly 2 years to truly jumpstart the system, and most of that early 2 years, 1 to 2 years, is you need that vegetation to regrow back up.
It is the extensive, deep-rooted vegetation in dunes that's been a factor in helping those remaining old remnant formations along the coast survive the storms and continue to thrive.
Like the Cross, right there within Pensacola Beach. There are sections of the National Seashore between Pensacola Beach and Navarre that have large dunes, particularly on the Sound side, not so much on the ocean. And then as you move further east towards Fort Walton, you even have a few fairly large dunes within the state park area that's kind of controlled by Eglin between Destin and Fort Walton.
As for whether the dunes and the extensive dune system on certain stretches of the beach would ever regain their pre-Frederick size, Dr. Schmutz says probably not.
I personally don't see, at least on Pensacola Beach, with the exception of maybe going multiple decades of growth and time to get back to those 20-plus foot size dunes.
During his 4 years of study locally, Schmutz has found that current conditions do not support the growth of really large dunes here, at least not anymore.
Part of that is our normal year-to-year, month-to-month kind of climate, and part of that is also our kind of storm activity. Yes, it's been 15 years since a direct hit in Pensacola Beach area, but we have had some storms, even in the last kind of 3 years, that have had some pretty good modification and impact on our dunes.
That means one factor related to dune restoration and growth is more frequent storm activity due to climate change. Another factor is human impact or development. Dr. Schmutz and his students recently completed research on the impact of asphalt and gravel left over from Hurricane Ivan's destruction of the road between Pensacola Beach and Navarre Beach.
So we did a study where we removed some of that material, and then we left some of that material in a large area, and we looked at how much sediment is moving over the course of a few months. And we found that that lag, that asphalt material, has a substantial, statistically significant, so substantial impact on sediment transport, which is required and needed for dune growth.
It seems strange that with all the years that Pensacola Beach has been in its phases of development and redevelopment, that beach nourishment only became a concept in the early 2000s.
Paolo Ghio, Director of Development and Environmental Services and Executive Director of the Santa Rosa Island Authority. He's referencing the first nourishment project on Pensacola Beach dating back to 2002. The process involved the dredging and pumping of new sand onto an 8.3-mile stretch of the beach and the restoration of dunes in that order.
When you come back and you start laying down new beach, you're also picking up those dunes that got eroded, and you are reinforcing the ones that are left over. Now, it's not enough just to place sand on them. If you're smart, and we are because we've learned how to do it properly, you're vegetating them, and you're putting up sand fencing.
Renourishment was required after Hurricane Ivan's 2004 landfall, and most recently in 2016 after a series of smaller storms eroded the coastline. The consensus now is that the process should be planned about once every 10 years. A crucial part of the beach renourishment process today, dune restoration was the primary focus of coastal recovery efforts in past decades. According to GEO, their coastal management strategy, which includes dune restoration as needed, walkovers, and signs to keep people off, is working.
First of all, the beach is doing terrific. It is strong. It is wide. It's healthy. The dunes, especially the primary dune, I can't remember it being this robust and consistent.
And keeping the dunes healthy for habitat and people, he says, is well worth it.
For one, they are our first barrier of defense against a strong storm surge. But they're a feature. They are what the residents, the community, the tourists look to. It's an icon, one of the many icons that define Pensacola Beach.
Pensacola Beach is a big part of the tourism industry locally. According to Visit Pensacola, more than 2.3 million visitors came to Escambia County last year and spent almost $840 million. Sandra Averhart, WUWF News.